Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. It's really unfortunate we didn't get a chance to finish, or we basically just touched the top end of Madison's essay on property. So we'll get into that in a short while. I've got a little bit of things to rant about, but let me just get into these obligatories. This show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that goes through the academic evidence. Well, what we want to do is we don't want to put filters. We don't want to put, let's just call it circuitry. Some people, if I use the term audiophile, most people kind of don't really understand it. And today, an audiophile has taken on kind of a new meaning in the kids of content in the digital world, because audiophiles are, you know, audiobooks and those types of things to kids today. In my generation, an audiophile is a person that really seeks the truth in the reproduction of sound. And so an audiophile usually spends an unreasonable amount of money on audio equipment and so forth to pursue the perfect reproduction of sound. And so when I use the term, you know, audiophile, I'm using it in that context of trying to pursue the truth. An audiophile, if you've ever looked at some of the really nice audio equipment, they don't have tone filters or tonal adjustment to the sound. In other words, they don't have bass, they don't have loudness, they don't have treble, there's no equalizers. Now, there are some that may have an equalizer for very specific purposes because of room compensations and so forth. But bottom line, that would be somebody that is seeking to use electronics to change the output of their system to make accommodations, which, again, to me, it flies in the face of the truth. What you want is you want your system to create the truth. If you've got room problems, then you've got room problems, and you have to fix your room problems. And so, and believe you me, I don't have the money to play in that world to that extent. But as an idealist, as a person that understands the intent of quote unquote purism, then getting an audio system to recreate the actual performance that was recorded is no easy task, or I should say not easy and or inexpensive, because you can't do it with just a little boombox. And as a matter of fact, having been in the industry, because while I was in the Marine Corps, I actually got involved in doing repping and channels of distribution for different audio companies and so forth. But anyway, back to this whole purist approach. You don't have, in a purist approach, you don't have, or you don't apply biases and filters. What you really do is you let the truth out. And that's kind of like what we're trying to do, what we're actually, so I use editorializing. I'll give you my analysis. You can tell me if I'm wrong. That is a good opportunity for you to remonstrate or to argue against my editorializing, my position. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to give you the actual words. That's why we think this is so important. That's why we believe that this show is so important, that we actually read these words. Because you can't get this truth. You can't get the black and white truth off those pages on another show. I mean, I don't know very many shows at all where you'll find the host actually taking the time to read the entire essay on property or to read, you know, Madison's comments in the cod fishery bounties or his comments regarding the Assumption Act and so forth. So when it comes down to truth, let us, you know, bear that blame of maybe crossing the line in reading to the listeners what the truth really is. We're not here to entertain. If I was trying to become an entertainer, I would probably, you know, I'd probably become very, very competitive. I would probably do a lot of what most of those other guys are doing, or gals, the people in the industry of conservative entertainment, using really pithy wit and so forth. And I just don't have time for that. To do this show, as a matter of fact, I kind of walked through somebody this week, a good friend from the Constitution Party. It kind of came through, and we actually talked about how I do this show. I don't sit down and write a dialogue. I just put these things I've got to touch on that, you know, that kind of makes it hard for me to get into. But 9 times out of 10, I've laid out this show on an annual basis. But I haven't laid out the words of the show. I have laid it out in an outline of content. And so what I do is I actually go through from the beginning to far enough into the end with little degrees of breaks from content so that you can get, you know, a little immersion in what's going on that border, what's going on here, what's going on. So that I can poke you in the eye and say, look, these things aren't going to stop. It doesn't matter how many entertainers are out there dancing and singing and entertaining you until you actually get engaged in the solution. So what they do is they cover these different passionate things and they get you involved in fighting abortion, get you involved in fighting this immigration issue or this invasion is what we call it. But the fact of the matter is, why aren't they getting you engaged in the solution? In other words, why is it that they're not saying, you know, hey, we're just going to give you this list of all these problems from the, you know, Western lands or federal lands. The federal government has no constitutional standing in owning any state property other than those few items identified in the Constitution. I could just go on and on with all of the different violations from these U.S. corporations, the way they've been managing our economy and funneling money over to, you know, these nefarious players. How we're subsidizing communism around the world. I could just go on and on and on and on. I could spend my whole career doing marketing, but I believe that I would be doing you a disservice if I didn't give you the truth. Because all the marketing in the world doesn't change the fact that we have to understand what the Constitution is and how the Constitution is the solution. We have to understand that the states are the only ones vested with the authority to hold the federal government accountable. We are a Republican form of government, which means that we're a nation of laws. We're a nation of constitutions, and if you understand the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, the way it was ratified, it throws the Constitution fundamentally under contract law, and that there is no tribunal, there is no court superior to the parties of that Constitution, which means very specifically that the parties are the states and they have that authority. Now, the reason we get into all of this truth is really because there's those of you who want to get engaged in the solution. There are those who are listening that I refer to as Harry. That's not his real name, but he's a guy I went to school with. He claims to be, you know, what do you want to call it? He claims to be, I consider schizophrenic because he says he's conservative, but he didn't vote for Trump. He voted for Biden. He voted for Hillary. Well, come on. I mean, can you be honest? Can you bear any truth to what you're saying, Harry? Because the fact of the matter is, if you're looking at what we're to be doing in seeking, you know, the job of the president, the job of the president is not to manage a social engineering agenda like Biden and Hillary, Obama, Bush, and the rest of these saps, or hacks, I should say. Fact of the matter is that when we're voting for these politicians, if they're not supporting the Constitution, they're supporting an agenda. This is why we have to start demanding that these politicians, one, understand. If they don't understand the Constitution, how can they support it? How can you hold them accountable to supporting it? Well, that's not how I see the Constitution. It's not how you see it. It's how it was described at the time of ratification. This is why these ratification debates that we just read, starting on March 29th, go pull these things in. There's about 2 months worth of ratification debates where I read the ratification debates to you. I editorialized, yes, of course, but you have to understand, if you listen to those, then you do understand how the Constitution was defined, how this contract, this compact, multiple parties, how this compact was laid out and defined, and the terms of the compact were set in those ratification days. So when we come back, we're going to kind of get things moving, and we'll get into Madison's essay on property. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
You know, it just it dawned on me that I really need to give you a little bit better clarity regarding the truth, high fidelity, and so forth. So I'm going to use a few different examples of the truth. And so when in audio, when you're recording, whether it be a live concert, whether it be something that is done in the studio with lots of, you know, retakes and editing just to get it perfect, what they do in the studio in trying to just get it perfect is they do multiple takes to where they've laid down the, you know, the exact, the capturing of the music, the imagery, the emotions, the performance, everything to how they expected it to become. In other words, a lot of times, you know, there's groups that will just record, you know, and they'll just kind of accept a rough cut. That's good enough. And then there are those perfectionists that go over and over. And some groups, you know, the Beatles, they did lots and lots of takes because they wanted it perfect, because it was about packaging and how they packaged the idea, the moment, this expression that they were putting down into vinyl or into a digital form. And so reproduction of that is the... In essence, in high fidelity, is to recreate that package that they created, that when they listen to that in a perfect environment on, you know, perfect headphones or what have you, so that there's no influence from the inabilities of the electronics. Let's say your speakers suck and they don't have, you know, highs, lows, and all these, they don't have the full bandwidth, they don't have the detail. And you can't reproduce out of the crummy speakers exactly what had happened, because your speaker may have deficiencies in the reproduction of that sound. So that's audio in trying to recreate that. That's why the audiophile bug, it gets guys or gets people, because there are women that are audiophiles, and it gets them so consumed and, oh, you know, my speaker cable, that's my weak link, because it's not able to give me the transparency that I'm looking. Believe it or not, there are people, and you'll be shocked to find that there are speaker cables just to run from the amplifier to the speaker that will run you in the range of tens of thousands of dollars just for a pair of speaker cables. That's how crazy the audiophile world is. But the whole point is, it's about the truth. It's the same thing with imagery. When you look at Van Gogh's Starry, Starry Night, I believe it was Van Gogh that did that, and when you look at that, you're looking at how he captured a moment, an emotional moment, or just a moment of time, and portrayed that into how he saw or how he wanted to reflect that night. And so when you look at an artist and how they're, you know, portraying what they see, this is how I like to put it in context. If you go to an artist that you want to commission and you want that person to paint a landscape of maybe Kathmandu with Mount Everest in the background. I don't know if Everest is there, but just work with me here. And so that artist actually tries to, you know, get the full detail, and you come along, oh, no. You know, I don't want the trash and the dirt. I don't want to make Kathmandu look like a nasty town. So don't put those things in. See, an artist has the ability in their artwork to filter out the impurities of what, you know, you think that the person that just commissioned you to paint or what you're trying to portray. So this is where art has this play. Now, in a musician's world, they're trying to create a very specific outcome, and they're filtering certain things like unwanted noise from, you know, the streets and so forth. That's why the studios are all quiet, so you don't hear the hustling and bustling of the city around in the background. But the fact is that if you really wanted the truth of Kathmandu with Mount Everest, well, you'd take a picture, or you'd actually take a video so that you could drill into all of the nuances, all of these things that are there, whether that be people walking along at that moment, standing right there when this image was being captured. And there's no filtering. You get everything. And the better the quality of the image, the better the truth. Does that make sense now? And so what is it you want? Do you want the truth, or do you want somebody's filtered perception of what they think they need you to understand? When you look at history today, history is literally a filtered, like a textbook or what have you. It is a filtered product of packaging a narrative that the author has tried to portray so that you see something the way they want you to see it. Right? So when you're reading a history book, there's a reason why it's called a history book, because it's not a source document. What it is it's some writer, some historian, some researcher that's read these different source documents, and they put together their interpretation of what was going on, and adding a little bit of truth from an article or an argument to fisticuffs, what have you. But this is what, and this is why this is so important. So forgive me for going through this in almost two segments, belaboring this whole concept of truth. What we believe is so important for America today is to, excuse the, I won't use the expletive, to be-slap them, to be-slap America, you know, be with an itch, right? So to be-slap America in the face, to wake them up. You know, like you see in The Three Stooges, or you see in some other movie where somebody gets B-slapped and, you know, that really snaps them out of it. That wakes them up and go, you know, shoot, what was I thinking? Why am I doing this? We should want the truth. We should be seeking the truth. We should be embracing the truth about what had really happened. And the only way, the closest way you can get to that, is reading actual source documents that are legal documents. This is one of the reasons why I try to stay away from Madison and Jefferson's personal writings, because when they get into the personal mode, when they're writing and providing information, they're, you know, using their own feelings and so forth. Why I really lean on their official documents. So when Madison vetoed the bonus bill, that was an official document that really had less to do about his feelings than it had to do about him executing his job as the President of the United States in vetoing a particular bill. And so it wasn't, you know, well, I feel this way or feel that way. Madison was pretty clear. When, you know, he vetoed that bill, he basically said, I really want to sign this. To be honest, I think we need to do this, but we can't do it this way. We have to do it the proper way. And so in that official capacity, we can see the truth. Does that make sense? Now, really quick, I've got some other things that I want to get into, but as we look at what's going on in the world today, and as we look at these engagements in foreign nations, foreign waters, and what have you, just think back when I was railing during the Trump presidency for a couple of years about what would happen if the United States, if Trump engaged the world as the President of the United States on dismantling the United Nations and opening up the U.S. Constitution to the world. In other words, not just opening them up tomorrow, so just like that, they are a state in the United States. No, make them go through the full transition of changing language, changing currency, legal system, putting them on common law, all of these types of things that would actually make them an independent and sovereign state in the United States. Now, people go, well, that would be terrible. Well, it's not going to happen in a day or a year or two. It would take several years for a nation, especially a heavily populated nation, to get all of its people to speaking language. It could take 40 years to get people to the point where they understand our culture and everything else. But should we deny liberty to any human being and to any group of humans that choose to embrace liberty as we have captured it in its true essence here in America? I mean, who are we? Clearly, I don't think the Lord, as we know, the Lord created this nation, it created this constitution. I don't think it was his design to deny liberty to the rest of the world and to the only, you know, the few people that live in the geographical region of the United States and the few select territories that we've cherry-picked. I don't think it was his intent to deny liberty to the rest of the world. And I believe that we, as Reagan and many others have said, we should be a beacon to the world. And what would, where would we be? Just think about this. Whenever you look at, you know, world events, current crises, what's going on, you know, just like with Russia and the UK, I mean, come on. Where would Crimea be? Where would some of these other states that are under the thumb of China or Russia, these other evil states, where would those, the people of those states be if they voted openly to become a territory and on the way to the United States status and voted openly to reject the United Nations? Where would we be? It would change our paradigms so significantly that as you fathom this, it'll blow you away. But we'll be right back after these two promos with Property.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so one of the things that we have to put together the truth of why this nation was built the way it was. Why was it that they were actually banning religions in the very beginning? Was it to actually create a cesspool of, you know, debauchery and debasement? No. And so I think when, and I alluded to this just the other day, that when they started getting away from allowing a church and government to create a dominance in these states, and they wanted to move more towards enlightenment and liberty, the Enlightenment would not have been abandoning the relationship of the church or the churches and communities with the government. In other words, allowing the church to continue to provide the compassionate services instead of basically kind of starving the church. Because you have to understand that people do need assistance and help, but they need assistance and help to get them into the desirable solution. What's the desirable solution? Well, one thing that is not a desirable solution is getting a human being dependent upon government or a church. The intent must be self, you know, what do you want to call it? Self-reliance, becoming independent, to be able to sustain one's own life and live to the desires that fit within the framework of society. You know, we don't want somebody to say, well, you know, I got to eat, so I'm going to become a cannibal. Well, no, that's not acceptable in our society. So the fact is that we have to have that, we have to have and kind of restore that symbiotic link, that symbiotic association between government and religions. I'm using the plural here, and that we understand that there are and is a role for a diverse amount of Christianity. Not to be judging, well, these guys aren't Christians and these guys aren't Christians. These guys claim to be Christian, but they're not. That's not for anybody to say. But what it is for us to say is that we shouldn't be allowing the wolf to live among us. In other words, there are religions, there are ideologies like communism, which is a religion. It's a godless secular religion. It denies the creator. It denies these things that are critical for a moral, for a society to one have its morals and so forth, but it denies a person the liberty to choose for themselves. Just so you understand, it's about the individual choice that everybody, see, this is why we started off with the scale of liberty. And I don't think I got into the details of this when I kind of just brushed over this, but just so you understand, on the two opposing ends of the scale of liberty, you have a person that fully believes that every person must learn for themselves. So give them the truth. This is where I'm at. Give them the truth. Give them the source documents. Let them hear how this Constitution was very specifically defined to the states, and understanding contract law, that those definitions and terms are legally binding. That's how we have to move forward. So that once you have the truth, this is what it has to be, then there can't be anything else. On the other end of the spectrum of the scale of liberty is enslavement, that we're totally enslaved to the state, that the state must provide for everything, and it basically becomes a, you know, a totalitarian theocracy in the sense of secular godlessness with communism. I'm just giving you that comparison. Now, the fact of the matter is that we start looking at, you know, the scale of liberty, we start putting these things into context, we actually start understanding why it is important to give you these source documents so that reasonable people, equally informed, will come to the agreement that, yep, you know, the federal government has no business doing X, Y, Z, and so forth and so on. And that the states have to get engaged to get them back into the controls. And this is how we peel back the states too, because I'm here to tell you that the states have assumed roles, responsibilities, and powers mandated by the federal government due to unconstitutional powers that the federal government assumed, such as the Environmental Protection Agency. The states don't have the Constitution amendment in their possession to allow the states to tax and regulate the, you know, the people over the environment. They don't. It's, there was no state that, at least not that I know of, there was no state that amended their constitution through the constitutional process to exercise that power, because every state has enumerated constitutions as well. And so the reality is we start peeling back and getting government to its true essence of the rule of law and the powers that we delegated to each of these different levels of government, our lives will get better. We'll be blessed with economic opportunities that you can't even fathom. Just imagine the world as we have taken, you know, this big turn back towards liberty. Because remember, just because you have the freedom to go and scrape up the earth doesn't mean you are not going to be held responsible or accountable for the damage and or the consequences of some of the things that you're doing. people can and will be. But bottom line, I think states may actually, there may be some states that will go draconian on the environment, like California. There may be some states that will go, you know, hands off completely, you know, and let companies or corporations kind of, and then over time, the states will finally get to a happy medium of saying, we have to have some levels of control because it is our responsibility as the states to control the environment as best we can to protect ourselves and our neighboring states. But we also have to ensure that we cannot use such draconian, you know, measures that we stifle our economy and make it impossible for people to survive. And this is why today we have such clean coal-burning power plants that make the argument, why is it we're not using coal in generating electricity? Oh, people in Wyoming and people in those states that have lots of coal, they would be loving to have this argument. But you can't even have this argument because the federal government says, thou shalt not use coal. And or they go into states and say, well, you can't do that's not their business. They have no power to do that. So anyway, why is this all important? And what does this have to do with property? Look at the Constitution. And in as I read this essay on property, start understanding what is the most precious property. And then also look at it this way. Look at that Constitution as a compact. It is a compact for parties. I want you to start looking at the Constitution as the property of the states, as well as the property of God, our Creator, because it is truly His. He was the one that instilled it here with very specific intentions. We, the people, embraced this and ratified this by sending representatives to the ratification debates and accepted this Constitution as described. So this is why these truths are so important. But let's look really quick at what property is and the essence of property and what is the most precious property we should be guarding jealously. Anyway, and I'm going to reread this because it's that important that we start off with these fundamental definitions as Madison lays out this argument on property and the paradigm that the framers, he and many others, held regarding property. This term, property, this term in its particular application means, quote, that dominion which one man claims and exercises over the external things of the world in exclusion of every other individual. In other words, this is mine, which means it ain't nobody else's. Then he goes on and says, it in its larger and juster meaning, it embraces everything to which a man may attach a value and have a right, and which leaves to everyone else the like advantage for their own property. In the former sense, a man's land or merchandise or money is called his property. In the latter sense, a man has a property in his opinions and the free communication of them, in his ideas, in his designs, in his creations. And he'll get into that, but I'm editorializing. Madison goes on and says, he has a property of peculiar value in his religious opinions and in the profession and practice dictated by them. He's basically just repeating and distilling down his argument in the Remonstrance on Religion. He has property very dear to him in the safety and liberty of his person. I'll even include his family, his community. He has an equal property in the free use of his faculties and free choice of the objects on which to employ them. Well, let's say his body is a faculty. How he decides to employ his hands and how he decides to employ, you know, his work and efforts of the day, though that is his property. Just the ability to choose how to function is a property. Anyway, We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let's get back to what Madison had just said. He has an equal property in the free use of his faculties and free choice of the objects on which to employ them. In a word, a man is said to have a right to his property. He may be equally said to have a property in his rights. So if you understand your rights are your property. Regardless of how insignificant some people may view your right of speech, your right of religious expression, it is still your property. Moving on, Madison then says, where an excess of power prevails, property of no sort is duly respected. No man is safe in his opinions, his person, his faculties, or his possessions. Where there is an excess of liberty, the effect is the same, though from an opposite cause. Government is instituted to protect property of every sort, as well that which lies in the various rights of individuals, as that which the term particularly expresses, this being the end of government, or this being their objective, that alone is a just government which impartially secures to every man whatever is his own. According to the standard of merit, the praise of affording a just securing to property should be sparingly bestowed on a government which, however scrupulously guarding the possessions of individuals, does not protect them in the enjoyment and communication of their opinions, in which they have an equal and, in the estimation of some, a more valuable property. So, okay, now you start realizing that, you know, if you have a bunch of homes, one home may be more valuable than the rest, may be more valuable than all of the rest. There are levels and or assessments of value to every piece of property you have. Whether that be the piece of properties of, you know, your music or your pieces of property of your food, you know, there may be, but these things are somewhat subjective. The value is somewhat subjective because somebody may deem something that is a far greater value to them as their property than what somebody else would say. Oh, how can you say that? How can you not say that that pile of gold is more valuable? Anyway, more sparingly should be praise be allowed to a government where a man's religious rights are violated by penalties or fettered by tests or taxed by hierarchy. Conscience is the most sacred of all property. Other property depending in part on positive law, the exercise of that being a natural and unalienable right. To guard a man's house as his castle, to pay public and to enforce private debts with the most exact faith, can give no title to invade a man's conscience, which is more sacred than his castle. I mean, if you understand, you know, how he's basically laying out this argument, wow. I mean, he gets this. He understands how important. See, we as a society have been indoctrinated to believe that, you know what? Maybe you don't have a right to think for yourself. Maybe you don't have a right to be able to express your ideas of liberty when they put others in jeopardy because of January 6th. That finger of judgment and the outcome of that kind of thinking and operation in our society makes us diametrically opposed. You can't think that way, friends. They're getting there. Biden said this in his inauguration. Our greatest threat are you patriots. Those of you who are going to be clinging to the Constitution, you are the threat. Then he goes on and says, Madison goes on and says, or to withhold from it that debt of protection for which the public faith is pledged by the very nature and original conditions of the social pact. That is not a just government, nor is property secure under it, where the property which a man has in his person, in his personal safety, his personal liberty, is violated arbitrarily by seizures of one class of citizens for the service of the rest. The redistribution of wealth, social justice. He's right here basically identifying that social justice is the antithetical to the society that they were creating. Social justice is repugnant to liberty. A magistrate, this is Madison again, a magistrate issuing his warrants to a press gang would be in his proper functions in Turkey or Indostan under appellations proverbial of the most complete despotism. And if you understand what he was just saying, he was pointing to probably the most despotic governments in the world at that point in time. That is not just government, nor is property secure under it, where arbitrary restrictions, exemptions, and monopolies deny to part of its citizens that free use of their faculties and free choice of their occupations, which not only constitutes their property in the general sense of the word, but are the means of acquiring property strictly so called. We must be the spirit of legislation. What must be the spirit of legislation where a manufacturer of linen cloth is forbidden to bury his own child in linen shroud in order to favor his neighbor who manufactures woolen cloth? Where the manufacturer and wearer of woolen cloth are again forbidden the economical use of buttons of that material in favor of the manufacturer of buttons of other materials. He is right there indicting how we have gone down this path of a mercantile system of allowing government to control what and how you do things, and not necessarily just what you would see as, you know, a mercantile system, but arbitrary. They would try to use science. They will try to do everything they can to justify these arbitrary mandates. Anyway, Madison goes on, a just security to property is not afforded by that government under which unequal taxes oppresses one species of property and rewards another species, where arbitrary taxes invade the domestic sanctuaries of the rich and excessive taxes grind the face of the poor, where the keenness and competitions of want are deemed our insufficient spur to labor, and our taxes are again applied by an unfeeling policy as another spur in the violation of that sacred property in which heaven, in decreeing man to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow, kindly reserved to him in the small response that could be spared from the supply of his necessities. If there be a government, then, which prides itself in maintaining the inviolability of property, which provides that none shall be taken directly, even for public use, without indemnification to the owner, and yet directly violates the property which individuals have in their opinions, their religion, their person, and their faculties, nay more, which indirectly violates their property in their actual possessions, in the labor that acquires their daily subsistence, and the hallowed remnant of time which ought to relieve their fatigues and soothe their cares, the influence or inference will have been anticipated, and that such a government is not a pattern for the United States. If the United States mean to obtain, deserve, and full praise due to wise and just governments, they will equally respect the rights of property and the property in rights. They will revile the government that most sacredly guards the former, and by repelling its example in violating the latter, will make themselves a pattern to that and all other governments. And I had to rush to get through this, but if you start understanding how the government is to secure and protect our essence and property, look at the things that they are doing and how they are trampling and mandating and dictating and saying, eat this because you'll enjoy it more. Do this and you'll enjoy it more. That is not their place. Their place is to secure your right to do what you want as long as you're not violating the rights of others or impacting the security and the sanctity of another person's choice. When we have Mohammedans coming in and saying you can't serve bacon because another person wants bacon with their breakfast, then you are taking away the essence of the right of the use of the faculties or the desires of a person. And no person in the land of liberty has the right to take away your liberty. As Madison says, you have rights in your property and property in your rights. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.